Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about the Oppo Realme 2, which is the successor to the Realme 1. The Realme 1 was a path-breaking phone in some ways because it offered a different kind of a design, avoided some design trends that our panelists are not big fans of, and it also gave everything at a pretty reasonable price. But does the Realme 2 do the same thing? Well, we'll find out on this episode. Thanks to Shobhit Verma, who's reviewing this phone.
Hi, guys.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. But before we start talking about the Realme 2, there is a little something that you'll have to listen to, which is our sponsor read. This episode of Orbital is brought to you by Goldwise.com. Now, what's Goldwise? It's a mutual fund investing website and app that helps everyone, especially smart people like you, achieve their financial goals. Now, you may be saving up for a smartphone, a vacation, to save tax, or just to get rich. Goldwise.com is your best friend for all of this. Now, once you pick your goals and a time frame, Goldwise uses its smart algorithm to recommend the best mutual funds for you to achieve them. Now, you can either invest in small sums every month or a big sum in one go and sit back, relax, and watch your money grow. Now, Goldwise doesn't charge you anything directly. It makes money by taking small commissions from mutual fund companies. Now, I've been using Goldwise personally for a year and a half, and I love how easy they make it to manage your money. My favorite feature is their customer service, and I cannot stress this enough. Their team really goes out of its way to help you out, and you can check that out yourself by going to goldwise.com, which is goldwise.com. Thanks so much to Goldwise for sponsoring this episode. Right then, Shobhit. So the Realme 2 is the successor to the Realme 1, as we noted earlier. But does it sort of keep the same price-to-performance ratio? And does it have the unique feature of the Realme 1, which is that it did not have a notch?
Well, do it again. Somebody came inside.
All right. So, the Realme 2 is obviously the successor to the Realme 1, but does it follow the same design trends, which is that diamond cut pattern at the back and the absence of a notch at the top of the screen?
Okay, so the first thing you need to know is that even Oppo and Realme have embraced the notch. So, last time around, we were very happy that the Realme does not have a notch. And I remember distinctly that, Pranay, you had said that the successor will 100% have a notch, and here we are, and the successor has a notch.
And yeah, well, sometimes I can predict things.
Yeah, and I think that's it's 2018, you know, notches have become ubiquitous. And I think that's the future of smartphone design, whether we like it or not. Unless and until, you know, somebody can come up with a radical solution, that's where things are going. If, you know...
Yeah, just remove companies. The front camera, just remove face unlock and all this nonsense and give me an all-screen phone.
Who takes selfies anyhow, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Selfies are not important.
How disconnected we are from reality.
Yeah. When companies are launching phones that are centered around selfies, and we are saying that, you know, selfies are not important.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the design pattern, is it like the same as Realme 1, or have they done something different apart from adding a notch?
Yeah, so I mean, more or less, they have retained what the core design characteristics of the Realme 1. So there is the same diamond cut design at the back. Thankfully, it's a little subdued this time around, which I am a fan of. So it's not as garish or gaudy, which I was not at all a fan of in the first one. However, there are in some ways the design has gone backwards. So the first smartphone was quite compact, and you know, it was easy to hold in the hand. This one is very wide, and it's quite a monstrous phone to hold. Secondly, they have added some, you know, accents around the rear camera setup and the fingerprint sensor, which is also a positive. Now the phone has a fingerprint sensor, the first one does not. But the silver colored accents, they are not tastefully done. They look a little tacky. So earlier the diamond cut finish looked tacky. Now this time they have subdued the diamond cut finish, but the accents look a little tacky. Overall, though, to be fair, the design looks a little, you know, it is classier. It certainly looks a little more grown up. However, the notch and the fact that the phone is a bit too wide are two steps in the wrong direction.
So maybe Realme 3 will perfect this.
Yeah, maybe. But it is definitely a step in the right direction in terms of the overall fit and finish. The phone does feel more grown up. Also, we are not sure about the materials used right now because the phone has not been launched and the information given to us from Realme right now is inconclusive. But as of now, from my initial testing, it does feel like they have stuck with the fiberglass back and a plastic finish. But Realme has not, you know, confirmed those things as of now. So we have reached out to Realme for that, and maybe the launch event which will happen and the pricing will be confirmed and all of these things will be confirmed then and there. We will get to know more
about
that. Yeah,
so a short clarification is in order here. So we are recording this episode about 30 minutes before the launch of the Realme 2 in India begins. So we know some details about the things that Shobhit just mentioned. One is that the price will be under 10,000 rupees, but we don't know the exact price yet. That will be announced during the launch event. And we also don't exactly know the materials which are used in the phone, which will again be revealed in the launch.
We know everything about the internals. We know the processor, the RAM. We know everything about the display. The only things that we are a bit inconclusive about are the materials used, and the price. So these are the things that, you know, I'm pretty sure Pranay will add in the liner notes as and when they are announced by the company.
Yeah, so I'll obviously mention it in the show notes and also in the post that goes up on gadgets360.com. But at the moment, we can't give a conclusive comment on that. However, we've been using this phone for a while and Shobhit is the one who's reviewing it. His review will go up on 29th August, which is one day after we are recording this. So everything that he's saying about it comes from a position of authority, of a position where he's been testing the phone in detail for around a week. So, I mean, yes. Shobhit, do you want to talk about maybe the display quality and then from there go to performance?
Yeah, so first we'll start with areas where the phone is actually a downgrade from the first Realme, which is kind of odd when you look at the nomenclature. It's Realme 2, right? So the phone should be a step up in almost every way, but it is not. So what I can think of is that this phone will actually, you know, sell alongside the Realme 1, and maybe the pricing will be very similar to the Realme 1, because in many ways this phone, you know, is a step up from the original, but in many ways it's a downgrade as well. So it's not an all out upgrade which we get, like it's a better phone or it's a step above. For example, the Realme 1 starts at 9,000 and you know, the Realme 2 is such a better phone that, you know, we can say that it should start at 12,000. It's not. So let's just, the display, for example, the Realme 1 had a full HD display, full HD plus display. This one has a HD plus display. So that's a sure short downgrade. And that one had a 6-inch full HD plus display. This has a 6.2-inch HD plus display, which leads to quite a weak PPI of pixel per inch of 271. Also the brightness. I mean, the maximum brightness is 360 nits. On paper, that doesn't sound too good, and sadly, that doesn't reflect too well in real life, real world performance as well. This is one of the weakest displays I've seen in terms of maximum brightness. I mean, outdoor legibility is extremely poor.
Yeah, so essentially, if you're standing in a place where there is a bright street light or under the sun somewhere and trying to read something, you're going to have some trouble.
So for example, if you go out and while taking camera samples outside, I half the time I couldn't even make out what I'm shooting in the display.
That's horrible.
There are two problems with it. First, the maximum brightness is low, and second, the display is very reflective. So both of them together combine to make outdoor legibility a serious concern with this phone. The second place where the phone is a downgrade from the original is the processor and overall performance. So the first one, Realme 1, has a Helio P60 chipset, MediaTek Helio P60. Now, MediaTek is not really associated with good performance, but the Helio P60 is an exception. It's a superb chipset which is MediaTek's flagship processor, and it smokes Snapdragon 600 series processors in benchmarks, even the 636, which is found in Mi A2s, both benchmarks in real world performance. I mean, I was all full of praise of the Realme 1 in terms of performance. It handles day-to-day use and intensive workloads easily. Now, this one is equipped with the Snapdragon 450. Now, the 450 is a serious step down from the Helio P60. It's not a bad processor per se, but it's very middling when it comes to intensive workloads, heavy games like Asphalt 9, and, you know, when you have a lot of apps open in the background and multitasking. So, if you compare both Realme phones, the Realme 1 is easily better for power users. Now, let's talk a few areas where this phone is slightly better. Now, the battery. This has a 4230 mAh battery compared to the 3410 mAh battery on the Realme 1. Now, the Realme 1's battery life was fine. I mean, it lasted the whole day, but that's it. This one lasts the whole day with quite a lot left in the tank, around 30%, maybe even 40% if you are, you know, using it easily, which is quite
nice. Yeah, so some of the trade-offs they made in the display, which is the resolution and all, which is lower, you said, maybe that is also contributing to the fact that it has better battery life, apart from the fact that it has a bigger battery.
So, it has almost a 30% bigger battery, plus it has a lower resolution display, plus it has a lower spec processor. So, all of these combined to give better battery life. So, that's why I started off in the first place by saying that the Realme 2 is not an upgrade from the Realme 1. Both are different phones with different pros and cons. Now, the third place where the Realme 2 is better than the Realme 1 is the mere presence of a fingerprint sensor. Now, face unlock is good and all, but it's a very unreliable piece of tech, which I don't know about you viewers out there, but I use it just to review the phone and then forget about it. But fingerprint sensor is a reliable unlocking technology, and thankfully the fingerprint sensor that Oppo has put in the Realme 2 is fast and accurate. So that's a huge step up. Now, all the other things are much of the same. The cameras are as average as before. I mean, the Realme 1 was quite a well-rounded phone with one big negative, and that was the average cameras. And sadly, not much has improved here. The cameras are not bad, but not great. They deliver washed out images in daylight. The exposure sometimes is off balance. I mean, if you work hard and, you know, frame the image correctly and make sure that the lighting is not harsh, you can get a decent image. But the dynamic range is poor, and the camera sometimes struggles with exposure. At night also it's the same story. If there's you know, artificial light, a lot of artificial light, the camera performs adequately. But if there's, you know, a lot near darkness, it fails to pull in a lot of light and there's a lot of noise. So the cameras are more or less the same. Where it has improved though is the front camera's bokeh mode. So the Realme 1 and the Realme 2 use software algorithms to shoot depth images using the single front camera. In the Realme 1, the depth mode failed to work half the time in the front camera. In the Realme 2, thankfully the depth mode works every single time. The images are not that great, but at least the software has been fine-tuned to a point where it actually works. And another area where both phones are meh is the fact that they have a micro USB port, not a USB-C. But if the price is under 10,000, we really can't complain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't see that as a negative, because USB-C, first of all, it's not a very reliable, standardized piece of technology just yet. I mean, we've seen so many cases where the dongle from the USB-C to 3.5mm headphone jack, the regular dongle that you get, the dongle from one phone will not work with another phone, even though both use USB Type-C. So, I mean, having micro USB, especially at that price point, is not really a negative.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm just saying that Oppo could have set or, you know, paved the way for USB-C in this price range, but having micro USB is not a negative per se, but it would have been good to have USB-C. Maybe some company will do it eventually. Also, another good thing that Realme has carried forward is it does not have a hybrid SIM slot. So there are separate slots for two nano SIM and a micro SD, which is something I love in a day and age where smartphones like the Mi A2 are ditching a micro SD card entirely. So that is something I love. Also, the 3.5mm headphone jack is retained. So the essentials are all there.
So yeah, I mean, that sort of hints at a maybe slightly more conservative approach that Oppo has taken with the Realme 2. The Realme 1, I think they wanted to make a big splash in the market and they succeeded in many ways. But with the Realme 2, it's sort of like, you know, not as revolutionary.
Yeah, so you, as a reviewer and as a phone which is branded as Realme 2, you can't help but be slightly disappointed with the phone because the name is not Realme 1.5 or the name is not, you know, it's Realme 2.
Realme 0.5.
It comes across as a brand new phone, but it really is not much of an upgrade. It's more of a phone that runs parallel to the Realme 1, which, I mean, I get the strategy that Oppo is doing. Both phones will exist alongside each other and both have completely different pros and both will cater to completely different audiences. One phone has a superb processor, is great for power users, and the other phone is more of an all-rounder, the Realme 2. It has a, you know, a fingerprint sensor, it has a bigger battery, it has a slower processor, but it ticks more of the boxes. So, but it's not as if the Realme 2 is a sure shot upgrade. It's not at all.
Yeah, so what I wanted to check was the Realme 1's price is 11,000 rupees for the base variant, right?
No, it's 8,999 for the base variant.
Oh, yeah. So, I think the previous time we had discussed, you had mentioned that the 11,000 rupee variant is the one that's best value for money, right?
Yeah, so the Realme 1 starts at 8,990 for the variant with 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage. Then there's one at 10,990. For 4 GB of RAM and 64 GB of storage, and there's one that's slightly overkill, which is 6 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage at 13,990. And as of now, the communication that we have got from Oppo is that the Realme 2 will have two variants, with the 3+32 and 4+64. However, that might change.
Okay, so this is what I was wondering, because if they've said that the price will be under 10,000, I am pretty certain that the base variant will be under 10,000 and they will have a variant priced slightly higher, which will be probably more easily available than the base variant.
Yeah, so what I am waiting for is if the phone is priced exactly the same as the Realme 1, then it makes sense. However, if they charge a premium compared to the Realme 1, then I, for one, cannot recommend this over the Realme 1. Because the only two positives is the better battery life and the fingerprint sensor. That's not to say that the Realme 1 has a terrible battery life. It easily lasts the whole day. So, and the Realme 2 is compromised in the most important factor, and that is performance. Because the P60 on the Realme 1 is not just slightly better, it's quite a bit better than the Realme 2 Snapdragon 450. So the pricing will be very important. So if they price it in the same ballpark, that'll be a good play to have two options. But if they price it premium, that will be just like charging more for the notch.
So you know what, I actually feel that they, based on whatever you've told me about the phone, they have a bit of a branding problem here, considering that the phone does not perform as well as the Realme 1. So calling it the Realme 2 could probably be a bit of a problem for them in terms of like what people expect from the phone. Because if you tell me, okay, this is the Oppo Realme 1, and now after that there will be the Realme 2. So I would expect something better. Or if you call it maybe something different, like, I don't know, Realme 0.5 or, you know, any other name that you can think of, or just the Realme, I don't know. So then, or even maybe Realme 1S or something like that. So then I would have, you know, the expectations, my expectations would be more in line with the performance that you are describing. So That is one issue. And the second thing is that just like the previous phone, the Realme 1, the Realme 2 is also most probably going to be available online only, and that too via flash sales only. So if I cannot buy this phone, then what's the point of, you know, launching it at like a sub 10,000 price point and then saying that it's so good and whatever. That is another issue, which is something that all the phones in that are competing with the Realme 2 also suffer from.
Yeah, so I completely agree with the branding issue, because when I was handed over the Realme 2 for review and all the rumors were saying Snapdragon processor, so I instantly assumed it will be a Snapdragon 600 series processor because it's a Realme 2, so it should be an upgrade. And I was really gobsmacked when I found out it's a 450. So the branding issue is certainly there. And I mean, it's not like there's a shopkeeper, you know, who's there to educate the consumers that, you know, nahi nahi sir, Realme 1 better hai, Realme 2 se. No, there's nobody there. It's just online. So, and I'm pretty sure most online e-commerce websites have a terrible habit of not even listing the specs properly, listing octa-core processor or quad-core processor.
So yeah, that's not mentioning which brand it is and all that.
Yeah, so that's true. And availability, Realme, to give them credit, Realme 1 never suffered from the kind of availability issues that smartphones from Xiaomi and Asus have suffered from. It was more or less in stock, but the flash sale model still kind of, you know, is a little
shady. Can't recommend it to anybody, right? It's a bit of a lottery, and then you tell people, you go buy this phone, it's really good, and then they come back to you saying that I couldn't buy it.
This might be a very small, you know, observation, and you know, just from my perspective, but out of all the phones that I've reviewed in the past few months, the budget phones, the Realme 1 is the one that I've seen the most in ordinary people's hands. We were discussing this last time, like, I keep on saying Acer Zenfone Max Pro M1, Zenfone Max Pro M1, but I've never seen a single one out in the world. But the Realme 1, I've seen so many of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good anecdote to have. I mean, if you notice it in real life, then, you know, obviously, clearly people are using it. But once again, like, it maybe, you know, in the areas that you hang out in, which is somewhere in Delhi or Noida or Gurgaon or wherever, maybe there the density of those phones is higher. But, you know, outside of maybe people are just, you know, roaming around with Zenfone Max Pro M1s everywhere. Probably not true, but, you know, we can't really say that for sure.
Another thing that we didn't talk about is that Oppo has kind of said that Realme is a separate brand now, which is not associated with Oppo. There was a whole news story and song and dance about it, that Oppo and Realme are separate now, they're not associated with each other, but the charger in the box is Oppo, and the cable is also branded Oppo. So I don't buy that at all.
I think they must have done that only to, you know, have something to counter Xiaomi. You know, like, apart from the issues that I already have mentioned in previous episodes about the branding, which is that Realme is way too close to Redmi, and it's very clear which company they are, you know, targeting as their competition. The only way I can make sense of this, the fact that, you know, the Realme 2 does not perform as well as the Realme 1, is if you think of it like, okay, Realme's number one performing smartphone is Realme 1. And second is Realme 2. Then let's see what Realme 3 does. Maybe it'll be even worse. And then, you know, we'll have a gold, silver and bronze medalist right there.
So basically, I think we've seen their flagship. And next, the Realme 10 will be a 1,000 rupee phone.
Yeah, feature phone that's better than Jio phone or something like that.
Yeah, and I think we can wrap it up with a word on the software, which is the only thing we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Which is it runs ColorOS 5.1 with Android 8.1 and the July 5 security patch. And my views on the software are as they were with the Realme 1. It's cluttered. It's quite in need of simplification. And, you know, the color profile used by Oppo is a little childish, and they really need to... I mean, the biggest issues with ColorOS...
Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, not stock Android. I mean, I think they can learn after using the Redmi Note 5 Pro, because it seems that I have been doing so many comparisons with the phone. I've begun to appreciate MIUI a lot. And then now I know why so many people call it one of the best skins. And you know, ColorOS and EMUI can learn a lot from MIUI, and their implementation, even their implementation of like some simple things, like you can't dismiss individual notifications in the notification shade, which is so annoying and gets so frustrating after a while. And these small things add up. And this phone for some reason has Opera as the default browser.
While that the Realme is a one, very easy reason to figure out. Most probably, you know, they would have some kind of a marketing deal in place. And, you know.
Yeah. But the Realme had ColorOS as, Realme 1 had ColorOS as default browser. So it's, these inconsistencies are what, you know, throw you off sometimes. Plus there are so many you don't need third party bloatware with these skins, because there's so much first party bloatware. I mean, and I'm using a MIUI 10 beta on one of my Redmi Note 5 Pros. And I think MIUI 10 is a perfect example of how a skin can actually help.
Yeah, I'm actually quite glad to hear you say that, because we should also not come across as people who just like stock Android and, you know, don't look at the positives that some of these custom skins have. Because personally, I feel that the likes of OnePlus and Xiaomi have to some extent improved on Android, and they've even added some really cool features. So I'll just mention maybe one from Xiaomi, which I personally thought was quite useful. They have one feature where, like, if you give somebody, if you get a missed call from someone, then it tells you how many times the phone rang before they cut the call. So if it's just once or twice, then you can maybe decide that, okay, you know, this is just an accidental call. But if it rang for 7 or 8 times, then you know, okay, this person actually wanted to speak to me, so maybe I should call back immediately.
I'll give you a simple example about just trust, right? So on the left panel of the home screen, both MIUI and ColorOS have their own version of what I call the Google Now panel. So, you know, where they have the weather, contacts and all that, right? So MIUI doesn't ask you for any permissions by default. It asks you for permissions as and when you use the widgets. Now the smart assistant on the ColorOS asks you for 6 permissions right off the bat. And if you don't grant even a single permission, this screen doesn't work. It asks you for contacts, messages, phone calls, calendars, media files, and location. So these kind of things, you know, really don't give a slightly off feel. All the first party apps ask for so many permissions. So these kind of things really bug me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it almost feels like some of these permissions are essentially used to subsidize the hardware cost. Even if that may not be Oppo's intention, I cannot be certain until, you know, we question them about this. But yeah, it does feel like a bit of a data grab, you know, unnecessary one at that. I mean, if they're disabling the widget, if you don't give even 1 of 6 permissions, then that is just like really bad.
Yeah, I'll give you a simple example. So the phone manager of the ColorOS requires a network connection. Why? I mean,
to send the data to some server somewhere, I guess. What else?
And if I don't give it a net, don't give it the permission, the phone manager app just closes. So
great, just great. Yeah, that's pretty much all we have to say about the Realme 2, and we will be back with another episode next week. So as always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, if you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to us via Google Podcasts on your Android phone or Apple Podcasts on your iPhone. And thank you so much for listening. And once again, thanks to GoalWise.com for sponsoring this episode.